The parable of the prodigal son.
Tonight, I'd like to discuss the story of the prodigal son. It's been told so many times and probably in a lot of similar ways and a lot of different ways. It's really the story of a man that we all know had two sons, and is found also in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, in verses 11 through 32. The setting of the parable shows that the master's object in giving it was that he was seeking to show the Pharisees their position respecting the publicans and sinners was wrong. And we have a good idea what the publicans were really like since we listened to Brother Dale's talk. He here pointed out that their wrong attitude toward the common people was likely to cost their own share in the kingdom. So let's look a little closer at the account to get the point of the story. In the parable, the father who had two sons evidently represents Jehovah God. And the two sons here represented the two general classes into which the Jewish nation divided itself. The elder son represented those who sat in Moses' seat and who remained loyal to God in their outward profession, at least, and in their endeavors outwardly to keep his law. The younger son represented the common people, not so religiously strict as to their ideals. This class, the younger son, misused their privileges and opportunities as members of their nation of Israel, as beneficiaries of the divine promises. They wasted their opportunities in self-gratification. They were known to others and acknowledged by themselves as publicans and sinners, not attempting to live godly lives. Now, the story has been called the greatest short story in the world, but under the Jewish law, the father was not there free to leave his property as he liked. Not under the Jewish law. The elder son must get 2/3 and the younger son 1/3. Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, brings this out. It was unusual for a father to distribute his entire estate before he died because it protected the family from poverty, unless an unusual circumstance arose. Now, let's be aware that this parable is slightly different from the usual treatment of receiving an inheritance for the purpose of teaching a lesson. But there's also a certain heartless callousness in the request of the younger son. He said, in effect, not actually, but in effect, he said, give me the part of the estate. I'll get it anyway when you are dead, and let me get out of this. That was very callous. Well, what do you think happened? The father didn't argue with the son. He knew that the son was ever going, if he was ever going to learn, he had to learn the hard way, as we learned in an earlier talk today through experience. And he granted his request. Without delay, the son realized his share and he left home. He soon ran through the money and he finished up feeding pigs, a task that was forbidden to a Jew because the law said, cursed is he who feeds swine. Now here is his father looking for his son. Looking for his son seems to indicate that he must have been waiting a long time and watching for his son to come home, for he saw him a long way off. Now the story tells us much about the forgiveness of God. Not only was the father thrilled to have his son home again, but he forgave him. He forgave him without any recriminations. And that's the beautiful part of this story of the Father's forgiveness, the mercy that he showed him. Many of us have read or seen or heard of someone who was forgiven for something, but always either by hint or by word or even by threat, his sin was held over him. That's happened many times. The son realized his sin and confessed to his father that he didn't feel worthy to be called his son. This is a true repentance from the heart. You know, there's a story about Abraham Lincoln being asked how he would treat the rebellious Southerners when they had finally been defeated and had returned to the Union of the United States. The man who asked the question expected that Lincoln would take dire vengeance, but he answered, "I will treat them as if they had never been away." I venture to say that Lincoln was no doubt influenced by the story of the prodigal son. But there's more to the story. His elder brother was actually sorry that his brother came home. He represented the Pharisees. He was not on the lookout for his brother. In spiritual Israel, there's a similar case. Some who are self-righteous and self-confident, moral, religious, but who, like the Pharisees, they lack the spirit of love to appreciate the father's conduct. The elder son was jealous. He was jealous. He couldn't or would not understand why his father would receive him back. What kind of person do we think he would picture? No doubt he would picture a self-righteous person. The Pharisees demonstrated a self-righteous attitude. They would rather see a sinner destroyed rather than saved. The elder son's attitude was tantamount to saying, "Why, Father, why?" There are many noble characters in the world who love to do right. Nevertheless, not many of this kind may be expected to be of the kingdom class. It's not because God is unwilling, but their noble qualities make them less ready to accept the terms. The better class seems to feel that in contrast with the lower strata of society, they are perfection itself. And God would be sure to desire them. When he came to his senses, it seems to say sin and degradation have brought unreason, unbalanced judgment, and have made the good to appear bad, the light to appear darkness, and the true to appear false and contrarywise. He realized that he had been insane, stupid, dreaming when he left so gracious a father's house and now so great blessings as he had once enjoyed. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." In the 17th verse, he says this. He was now realizing the essential things of life. His father's abundance and so forth. He was thoroughly disgusted with his condition, and it is of divine providence that our eyes open to see our need and our loss. Maybe we've done some thinking in the past that prompted us to say, "What was I thinking?" And if that's the case, then that's good. Then that means we're coming to our senses, if that's the case. Jesus represented the Father's house and prompted the younger son class of the Jews to have confidence that the Father would receive them when they had come to him penitently. How beautifully this illustrated the love of God, the lengths, the breadths, the heights, and the depths of God. The robe and the other attentions that are mentioned in this parable that were given to him. Illustrate the provision God has made for all who return to him from the ways of sin. The robe and all the blessings are provided through Christ, covering for all the imperfections of the fallen nature. The fatted calf well represents the feast of fat things, which God has provided for the penitent class. And that's found in Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verses 6 through 8. Now, there's nothing in this parable that shows the necessity for the ransom. It is evidently the picture of the return of a backslidden son, and not that of redemption of a condemned stranger, an alien. In case anyone hasn't really searched this out. Well, how this must have touched the hearts of the publicans who heard, to think that God was willing to receive them back again, not to spurn them as the Pharisees did. This loving, helpful spirit is a spirit which the Lord would have all his people exercise toward, even the most degraded of men who manifest the disposition to forsake sin and return to the right ways of the Lord. The Father's kiss was the seal of his love. There's no question about it. How true to the facts was this picture of the Pharisees objecting to the telling those poor prodigals about the love of God and his willingness to forgive them and to welcome them back again? They certainly were angry to see someone who was a nobody in their eyes telling them that the Pharisees were the elder brother class of Jews who did not show the right spirit. They had cultivated a spirit of pride and boastfulness. They lacked the spirit of love and hence was not at all prepared for the feast. The jealous son on the part of the Pharisees apparently kept many of them from appreciating the gift of God in Christ. They refused to enter in, as they were not in the right attitude of heart to receive this repentant brethren, neither would they have been in the right attitude of heart to be the Lord's instruments of general blessing in his kingdom. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 13, explains the hearts of the Pharisees. They certainly were hypocrites. And what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite's a pretender, a deceiver, a liar. It wears a mask. A sanctimonious person. And they were all of these things. And how sad it is knowing not only in Jesus' day were people being deceived, but it continues today. Legally, the young son was, he's cut himself off from the privileges afforded the son. The father, knowing his son lost his inheritance through selfish squandering, brought shame on himself, his father, and upon his family. Nevertheless, the father will not follow strict legal guidelines when it comes to dealing with his younger son. Because his son would picture, no doubt, the publican who, standing afar off, said to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In Luke 18:13, the proper attitude of all repentant ones is reliance upon the love and mercy of the Heavenly Father and the provision he has made in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and for the reception again to his love and care. The publicans and sinners felt their degradation. They were spiritually hungry, and sin always brings misery in some form and often in many forms. When a person becomes a slave or a servant of sin, his reward, what he receives from the sin, is discontent, unhappiness, heartaches, and even physical sickness. As it states in Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. God has given man free will to choose which way he'll go. From the first man ever created, and we all should ponder this question, even if we've been fighting the good fight for many years, which way are we going to go? Those who have walked the way have not returned and have no doubt given up the great gift of God. And either by way of open sin or wantonness, or a failure to attain divine likeness in their hearts. This is the kind of person who is without regard for what is morally right. Reckless. Unjustifiable. Someone who thinks this way no doubt has been influenced by worldly pleasures and can no longer be guided by God. Why? Because he refuses the good influence of the Holy Spirit. So when considering this parable, and by way of a review, it's easy to understand that God, represented by the prodigal's father, shows much mercy and love. It's already been demonstrated by the first discourse. For he must have been waiting for him a considerable time, we learn. And since Luke says in verse 20, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father forgave him even before he had planned in his mind how he would express sorrow for his sinning. What love, what mercy. Do we not have a loving, merciful Heavenly Father? But what about the older son? What about the older son? How was he treated by his father? Even when he showed such great disrespect to him, dishonoring him, and breaking the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. His father says, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. So now let's see what his father is saying. He calls him his son, which tells us he's still his son. He did not say, you're no longer my son. And he says further, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. I think he is saying, it is still yours, not now you have lost everything. There's no forfeiture of blessings here. I believe this parable of the prodigal tells us of the wide range of mercy and love of our Heavenly Father. The younger son class receives the great blessing of Jehovah, and the older son class receives a wonderful blessing during the millennium when God, through his son, helps all who will up the highway of holiness. And may the Lord add his blessing.